Okay, I will after this call for sure. But they're, wow. All right. Stacy, will you lead us in prayer today? Is anybody on the call?
Yes, I'm here. Sheba.
It's Saunders here.
Okay. Stacy, are you there?
I don't hear Stacy or Tammy.
Yeah.
Tammy's on mute. Sorry. I'm here.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. I'm here. This is Fran.
Okay, looks like we lost her. Richard, will you lead us in prayer this morning?
Yes. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are coming to you this morning, this early morning, this mid-morning, this afternoon, from all the time zones that we're crossing over to give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you have shown us and you continue to pour out our way. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is our comforter and our guide. We thank you, Father, with our whole hearts, knowing that as you have blessed us, that, Lord, we are to bless others. Help us, Lord, in this day, as we prepare our hearts to hear a word from you specifically for each one of us. For, Father, we're gathered together to hear from you as individually and collectively. So, Lord, give us ears to hear, a mind to understand, and a heart to receive what is to be said. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you please just bless Jeanette, quieten her spirit, and allow her spirit to be used by you to bring forth your word, that it would be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that it would fill us with what we need as it filled her as well. Father, I ask that you would allow your word to penetrate our souls, that, Lord, we would take it and move in directions and ways that only you want us to go, so that we can truly bless others as you pour out your blessings upon us. Bless those that may want to call in but unable to. Allow them, Lord, to hear from you as well through whatever means you choose. Lord, we pray today that your will be done. We're not just gathered just to gather. We gather to hear from you. So bless us all, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Richard.
All right. We're going to go back to Joan. And there's a couple of things I kind of want to, Evandra, go to Job 38 and just read verse 1, 2, and 3.
You got it. The Lord speaks. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." Continue.
Yes. No, not yet. I'm trying to get this a little irritating sound that's coming through, but adversary is very busy this morning, it seems
yes.
to me.
Yes.
And I bind you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Bind you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
You can cut out your antics in the name of Jesus. Okay. I'm going to recap a little bit because now we're at the point where the Lord speaks, and he speaks in a whirlwind. Prior to this, just for a fast recap, Job is going through unprecedented pain. He's in the trial of all trials. His trial is so notable that centuries and centuries later, we're still talking about the trials of Job, and even referred to almost, you know, even casually as in circumstances, personal say that they're going through a trial as Job. Well, Job's situation was unique in a lot of ways. But it shows us and gives us insight to how things can happen in the heavenly realm, which we don't know much about. We don't know about the laws and the ordinances of the heavens. Job has sat through days of anguish. He's lost his family. He's lost his children. He's lost his wife is still around, but she's not much of a help or encouragement. And then he's got the three friends that came, and the only thing they could see in this is that we don't end up in circumstances like this unless there's something that we did to bring it on. That was the limitation of their understanding. So they harped on it and harped on it and harped on it, which brought Job to the point of continuously defending himself. And he ends up saying that his fight isn't with them, his fight is with God. And from that, finally, Elihu, who's a young man who's not mentioned as the three friends of Job, most of the time when you hear the story, the three friends are the only ones really mentioned. But as we saw last week, Elihu is a young man who comes in, and this young man seems to have some insight and wisdom from a broader perspective, which makes, just a little sidebar there is don't ever dismiss somebody because they're younger than you and you don't think they have anything valuable to say. We can learn from anybody, all ages, if we have an open mind and if we have an open heart to improvement. You know, when somebody criticizes you, friend or enemy, it's not a great practice to just dismiss it and say, well, they don't like me anyway. Yeah, well, if they don't, they're more likely to tell you the truth. Isn't that unfortunate that so often it's our friends won't tell us the truth because they're tiptoeing and don't want to hurt your feelings? But I'm just challenging you, friend or foe, when somebody brings you something, examine it. You don't have to believe everything everybody says, but make sure you examine it first. Is there any truth in that? Because if there is, you can become a better person. Sometimes the Lord can use a donkey to speak. He can use anybody.
Amen.
So here comes this young man, and he postures himself with, I'm younger than all of you, and I probably don't have, much to offer particularly, but hear me, just let me speak. I let all of you speak, but I got something to say. He was disgusted with the fact that the three friends, once Job declared his innocence, had nothing else to say. And then he kind of wraps it up and says, you're holding God accountable and insinuating that God is not just, and you're saying you are righteous. Well, that alone is a conviction. But as this is happening, Elihu sees in chapter 27, not 27, the boy, 37. Oh, where am I? Okay, hold on one second. Okay, verses 21 through 24, Elihu says, no one can look at the sun bright as it is in the sky. What was happening there? He wasn't saying you can't look at the sun. He's saying that there were mounting clouds that were now hiding the sun approaching where they were. So he is seeing that this storm is coming. Elihu had just finished talking about the majesty of God, and now this storm is coming. And you get the sense that Elihu knew that God is in this storm. Did we ever see God in our storms?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Often I don't. I just see the storm.
You should.
I just see the trial. I just see that what I'm going through. And I don't always see that God is in the storm. And here it was understood that the darkness of the clouds that are blocking the sun is because God's brightness, because God himself has to veil himself when he comes in contact with man. And Elihu seemed to understand that. And I'm sure the rest did as well. So as this ominous, ferocious cloud is coming, he says that he can't even see the sun behind it. Out of the north he comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. Elihu is recognizing God is coming. God is coming. Wouldn't that be an awesome moment?
Yeah.
That had to be amazing.
Yeah.
And amazing that they recognized it. The Almighty is beyond our reach, exalted in power. In his justice and his great righteousness, he does not oppress. What is Elihu? Remember we ended last week somewhere near Lamentations 33:3 or 333?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that God does not enjoy bringing, you know, pain and suffering on people.
Yeah.
Well, here we have Elihu saying the same thing. Lamentations hasn't been written yet. Mm. This is before Lamentations was written. And yet Elihu has the same understanding of God. He does not oppress. Then he stops. He says, therefore, people reverence him. For does he not have regard for all the wise in heart? What is he saying? God is coming. He's coming. You know, position yourself. Reverence him. And if you think you're so smart, he's coming. Okay, start the first one.
You ready?
Again, the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. I want to talk to him out of the storm for a minute. I want to deal with that for a second. Because a lot of times, and I'm taking this into another understanding of it, it's as Job was in, this was a literal storm, and this was a literal trial, and the Lord literally is going to speak to Job in this trial from out of a storm. But sometimes, I'm going to say this, and it's hard for me to say because I hate this reality myself, but it's the reality. A lot of times, God can't even get you to listen if you're not in a storm.
Amen. Amen.
If we're not going through and we're not suffering or we don't have need of God for some reason or another that we have figured out or we're not in a down place, we don't look up. I want you to think about that. Because if maybe, just maybe, if we would do better at including God regularly in our lives, in our relationships, in our choices, when we're not in a trial,
preach.
Maybe he wouldn't have to come in a storm to speak.
That's right.
And yet we know that the pruning is never going to stop because we're constantly being pruned and the things that are hidden within us come to the surface only when the heat is turned up. But listen to him as he speaks. A lot of times, but I also want to bring up that when God speaks, remember I talked about how sometimes the teacher is silent during the exam?
Yeah.
And sometimes you call out to him and call out to him, and he's still providing for you, and he may even bring you a level of peace, but the trial doesn't stop, nor does he explain why you're in it. Mm-hmm. Why did you let this happen? And he doesn't really answer it. But when the trial is coming to an end, his test is coming to an end. In Job's case, he's getting ready to speak to him out of the storm. God is getting ready to finally answer Job, which means this test is now finished. And here is God to see, how did you do? So the Lord speaks to him out of the storm. The Lord also speaks to us as we're coming out of the storm. It starts to become clearer. We begin to see ourselves more clear. This entire time, Job is doing a whole lot of looking at himself to wonder why is he in this terrible trial that he's in. But only conclusion Job can come up with is that he's blameless. Ouch. That's the only thing he concludes is I haven't done anything to deserve this. I'm blameless. I'm going to bring up Job, the 27th chapter, for 1 second. And in chapter 1 of that, he says, Job continues his discourse, and he says, as God lives, who has taken away my right, the Almighty who has embittered my soul. And then he goes on to say, for as long as life is in me, the breath of God is in my nostrils, my lips certainly will not speak unjustly. But he kind of just did, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He's accusing God of being unjust. And when we go through things, and I'm going to say this, and then you see the conflict, because in verse 4, he says, my lips certainly will not speak unjustly, nor will my tongue mutter deceit. And he's saying he will continue to honor God. Let me tell you something. When we're going through trials and storms and tough parts of life, a lot of times, if you start entertaining any thoughts that are contrary to who you know God is, you will become confused. And that's what, and I'm going to put it this way, maybe the disease of Job's body was starting to get to his mind. Sometimes when we're in a terrible tribulation or a test, sometimes the circumstances of that test can begin to pollute your understanding of God. You see that Job is holding on to who he knows God is, and in another breath, he's saying that God is unjust. When you're in these circumstances and you begin and you're calling out to God and it doesn't seem that he's answering, you don't understand why he let this happen or why is this happening or that happening, or and then you begin to question the integrity of God. And a lot of us will not, you know, will say, oh, no, I've never done that. But sometimes you'll be surprised the thoughts that you find yourself entertaining. This is where a lot of people, you know, end up questioning, well, the goodness of God. You've seen Christians walk away from their faith because a child dies. A spouse dies. A loss of job goes on so long that they can't see, if I served God, how did that help me? My child still died. My job is still lost. My spouse is still dead. How could you go through something like a car accident and you lose your wife and your daughter and still believe that God is who he says he is? Well, where were you then? Where were you? Why were they unprotected? Why were they on a highway and wiped out? Where were you then, Lord? Well, if that's your idea of being Lord, I'm not sure about this, the whole thing anymore. I always prayed for their protection and they're gone. I prayed for their healing and they died. What is happening in the mind at that time when those are the thoughts going through your mind?
Your faith is being tested.
Richard says your faith is being tested.
Yeah.
If you do not shut down these ideas at the door, they can begin to make you sick. In other words, they can begin to unravel what you do know about God. That's what you see happening with Job. Job speaks of the goodness of God. He starts out the trial, hey, am I only supposed to accept good things from God and not bad? He starts out with a little more going for him. But by the end of it, he's saying, how about you just kill me and whatever? Because I've done no wrong. You won't even answer me and tell me what I've done. So you know what? How about we forget the whole thing, and I don't know what kind of justice you have, but it doesn't seem very just to me. And if I've done something wrong, you tell me what it is. Is he contending now with God? There's an attitude problem happening here, and it happens when the heat is turned up so high, when we don't understand. That's why I said a couple of weeks ago, understand that you don't understand. That's what helps me, is to understand that I don't understand. That will shut the voice of the adversary trying to get you to curse God and die, trying to get you to doubt what you do know about God, doubt that he's merciful, doubt that he has grace abounding, doubt that he knows what's best, doubt that nothing happens to you unless God is allowing it. Understand that you don't understand. And also understand that maybe you will understand, but it won't be today.
I will have received that.
Might not be tomorrow. You may not understand to 30 years later. You may not understand till you stand before that awesome judgment throne of the Most High. And then all of a sudden you see the purpose of everything is unfolded before you. I cannot imagine that we won't just fall to our knees. I can't imagine that as we suddenly realize every move he's made in our life, everything he's allowed in our life has been for our betterment, no matter how it seems at the time. All he's requiring of us is to trust me. Instead of saying, what did I do, and where's your justice? Lord, I know you know what's best. I don't understand, but I certainly know that you would not be doing this to harm me. I certainly know. Stand on these truths when these trials come. If that is what will shut out the confusion that can poison your mind and then your heart against God. Stand on what you know him to be, no matter what it looks like. And don't underestimate the power of saying it out loud. Because 9 out of 10 times there's somebody in the room talking to you that you think is yourself, and it isn't. Okay. Back to the test.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Phil. I can hear you now.
Yeah. I just want to say, I mean, because I'm in the middle of something like that, it's really hard. I mean, I try every day to thank God for what I'm going through. But, you know, it's really difficult to thank God for something that's really painful. It really does test you.
Yes, it does. Do what you know to do. Don't wait for the feelings to follow. I think all often of a song that Donnie McKirkland made, and the song was talking about, I'll praise him. In the good and the bad, I'll praise him. But he talked about, and I remember many times through some trials I've gone through with tears running down my face, and all I could do is put the song on and begin to praise him through song.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes I need somebody to praise him for me because I can't even find those words.
Amen.
But then you go to something that's going to lift you up. Go to something that's going to lift you up. So go to some praise music. Go to some gospel music, and I guarantee you God will use that music to help you.
And I also think that just like you said a word a moment ago that was so powerful, and maybe it just wasn't clear in a lot of our hearts because we heard it, but we got to realize that we got to know that we don't know what God is doing. And we just got to accept what God is doing. And if we don't believe it's God, you can ask him. But God knows everything. And he knows he understands our suffering. He understands and he suffers with us. But we got to understand that we don't know what God is doing. So as we go through difficult times as Job did,
Job focused on his justice, his righteousness, his integrity. That's what Job was focusing on. He wasn't focusing on what God is doing and how he's using him. Even though the pain is real and the pain is in him, the same thing as Peter when he told him to go out and fish, and they fished all night. Peter was a fisherman. God was a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. But because he knew that it was God, he said, okay, we've been out all night, but I'm going to go out again. I'm going to go out in the day, when he knew that fish schooled together at night by the shore. But God told him to go into the deep, do the unconscionable. We got to trust in what God is telling us or what he's doing. We got to listen to that. And that's a difficult place to be, especially when we're using our finite mind to understand or don't see it.
So hold on. And also don't expect that because it looks like this today that that's how the story ends.
Amen.
It could look as dark and as bleak as possible. There is no way at this age in Job's life he felt he could recover. It's over. But we don't know how the story ends. Just hold on. Be faithful through. And if you continue to be faithful through, as I've said before, I think it cuts the trials a little shorter. Because it means you got the lesson.
Understand.
I'm telling you, when you're just complaining and grumbling and questioning and why this and why that and you now, keep that up. And see how long the trial never changes when you're in that condition.
Ask the Israelites.
Amen.
In the wilderness.
Yeah, as Richard said, ask the Israelites. Whoops.
Yep.
Cool. Okay, so the Lord speaks, read verse 2 and 3 again, please.
Sure. Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me.
Ouch.
Well, yeah.
He says, who is it that obscures my plans? Other translations will say, who is darkening my door? Who is bringing a cloud on my reputation? Who thinks that they can come and say things that bring a question to my integrity? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me.
Amen.
Keep going.
Where were you when I laid
through verse 7?
I'm sorry?
Read
from
through
4 to 7? Sure.
Yeah.
Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Hallelujah. Come on now. Come on now.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes. Yes. In Jesus
I just
Christ's
wanted
name.
To stop in heaven. Because it says, when the morning stars
sang
together. How many of you knew that the stars had a voice and that they sing?
Amen. Amen.
Keep reading. How beautiful is that?
Yes. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in a thick. Hold it. Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds, it's my tears that are in the way.
clouds its garment and wrapped it up in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this far you may come and no further. Here is where your proud waves halt. Woo!
Is that beautiful?
Yes.
Do you ever notice that when waves come up, it never comes up as a line. It comes as if it's hitting bars.
Yes.
It comes with a pattern. I just saw that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It waves never come as one big swoop. They usually come and they stop with a jagged edge all the way around because he set bars there that we cannot see.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord did not have to say any more, and I am humble. You're talking about judging a God. The same God who says he set the foundations of the earth. And where were you when he did it? Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't even exist.
Okay.
Keep going.
Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their unpraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have
Stop.
The gates...
Stop. If you read another translation, you will say, have you ever walked on the floor of the ocean? Have you ever walked on the floor of the ocean? And what is he saying here? He's saying he has. He's saying he has. He's making a comparison of man to God.
Yeah.
So when was the last time you went strolling on the floor of the ocean? So again, humbly understand you don't understand. Understand you don't understand. You've never walked on the floor of the ocean, and you want to tell the God who created all of this and does all of that that he's mistaken, that he doesn't know what he's doing, that you can't trust him with your life? Keep going.
Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me, if you know all this, what is the way to the abode of light? And where does...
What is he saying there? What is the way, in other words, how do you get to where light lives? Did you know that there was a place that light lived?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And if so, how do you get there? What road do you take? What GPS will get you to the abode, the inhabitation of light itself? Keep going.
My goodness. And where the darkness resides, can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their dwelling? Surely you know, for you were already born. You have lived so many years. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of the rain and a path for the thunderstorm,
to water a land where no one lives, an uninhabited desert, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass. Come on. Does the rain have a father? Come on now. Who
Amen.
Fathers? Come on. Come on. We're about to get
if
the
we stop oh. right there.
Yes, I will.
Am I the only one that thinks that God was talking smack?
Yes. He like trying no.
Oh, I'll say this. I wouldn't want to be the person on the other end of that conversation.
Preach it for real. Oh, my God. Should I continue?
Continue.
Yes. Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens when the waters become hard as stone? When the surface of the deep is frozen, can you bind the chains of the, what's that word? Pilates? Pilates. What is that word?
I'll get to that as soon as you
can
finish.
Okay. Can you loosen Orion's belt? Orion's belt. Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can
Stop.
You set up like this?
Can you bind the chains of the Pilates?
Pilates, okay.
Can you loosen Orion's belt? What is he talking about here? He's talking about the constellations.
Uh-huh.
Right.
He's talking about the way that the stars are placed in the sky. Can you free yourself? Can you bind the chains of can you loosen the belt of Orion? When you study, go into this a little bit more, they're talking about the placement. When he even comes down to, or lead the bear out of its club, out of its cub, he's talking about the different pictures of the stars in the sky at different times. He's saying,
you know,
can you even free yourself from the influence that they have on you?
Right.
Okay.
Now that brings us back to astrology, doesn't it?
Right.
Okay.
So he's saying, well, does that, so can you do anything about what is already placed in the sky? The answer is no. Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons? No. In other words, these groups of stars are called to appear in a certain formation at a certain time. Can you do anything about that?
No.
Do you know what the laws of the heavens are?
Yes.
When you're born under a certain cluster of stars, can you do anything about the propensities that you seem to have? So am I saying the zodiac has some relevance? Of course it does. Are we supposed to study it? Of course not.
Amen.
He forbids us to go to the stars when he said, you want to go to something, go to me.
Come on.
I'm the one who can loosen his belt.
Yeah.
I'm the one who, if you have a propensity, I don't know much about zodiac anymore, but say whatever it is. Say, for example, this I remember, the bull, Taurus the bull. And say you notice and you've heard over the years that Taurus the bull has a very stubborn streak. Can you loosen that stubborn streak? Because it's who you are? No, you cannot, but can God?
Yeah.
God can. God is over these propensities that are come natural to people born under certain clusters, certain formations that he placed in the sky. The devil didn't do that. God did.
You know, Jeanette, this
this
to me makes me realize the significance of this, though, because a lot of times I know we're not supposed to worship it or study it or whatever, but I think we chalk it off to all mythology, but it's not. This just justifies the fact that it is real and it is true because God made it that way. But we're not supposed to worship it, you know. But I know a lot of people think, oh, that's mythology. Right, right. So I
or
think
even
it's important as Christians.
It.
Right, right. But okay. I think it's important as Christians that we realize it is real. It's not mythology. It's not just fake.
What's real is that God is orderly.
And to
that's
be revealed.
What's real.
And to
it's
be revealed.
Our place is, it's not star placed in the sky that he did not orchestrate.
Right.
He orchestrated it. He placed it in the sky. And remember earlier in the text last week when we were reading, and Job was examining himself, and he said, have I even blown the sun a kiss?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would have offended God. Because God is very clear, do not worship, do not seek answers from my creation, seek answers from me.
Great talk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fruitless to get into a conversation or an argument about somebody who's all into the signs of the zodiac and this, that, and the other. There's no point in arguing that. God placed those stars in the sky, but God can break the chains, the influence in your life. He can loosen Orion's belt. So you see a propensity that, you know, doesn't bring out the best? God can fix that, whether you're a Gemini or not. Oh, I'm a Gemini, so I got two faces. So when my other one comes out, oh, well. I can't help that because I'm a Gemini. If I got a problem with a doomed personality, I need the Lord to break that chain.
Amen. Amen.
That the only personality people will see will be the Spirit of God in me.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And who can I go to? Should I start talking to the Gemini stars when they're in the sky? Better not. Might answer you.
you could talk to the QAnon shaman.
Oh, thank you, friend. Silly me.
No, I'm just kidding.
Silly me. Do you know the laws of heaven, of the heavens?
Yes.
I want to stop there for 1 minute because.
Just a minute because it gets juicy after that.
I know. But do you know the laws of heaven? What does that indicate to you? And to me, what does that tell you?
That he's orderly.
Not only that he's orderly, but there are laws in place that we don't even know what they are. Ouch.
Yeah.
So if there's laws in place in the heavens, and you're saying, do you know what they are? We already know. No, we do not.
I didn't close.
Why is that important? Because I've said this before. There are certain things that set off certain reactions. And that's because there's laws in heaven already established.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
We don't know what the laws are, but we certainly are living under them whether we do or not.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a law of heaven that started out this entire book. The adversary couldn't touch Job without permission. That's the law of heaven. Keep going, Alexandra.
Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you? Here we are. Who gives the abyss wisdom? Come on, Daddy. You hear what he said? Who gives the abyss wisdom or gives the rooster understanding? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in the thicket? Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wonder about lack of food?
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
He thought the ravens were crying out to their mom. They're crying out to God. Every creation knows that God is God. Mm. It means every creation seems to be sure of it but man. Even a something as simple as a bird knows that for him to get food, who to go to.
Mm.
Cries out to God. It doesn't say he cries out to his mother. It says cries out to God.
Mm.
That's amazing. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch when the doe bears her fawn? Do you count the moth till they bear? Do you know the time they give birth? They crouch down and bring forth their young. Their labor pains are ended. Their young thrive and grow strong in the wild. They leave and do not return. Who let the wild donkey go free? Who untied its rope? I gave it the wasteland as its home, the salt flat as its habitat. It laughs at the commotion in the town. It does not hear a driver's shout. It ranges the hills for its pasture and searches for any green thing. While the wild ox consents to serve you, will it stay by your manger at night? Can you hold it to the furrows from the harness? Will it till the valleys behind you? Will you rely on it for its great strength? Will you leave your heavy work to it? Can you trust it to haul in your game and bring it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich flap joyfully, though they cannot compare with the wings and feathers of the stork. She lays her eggs on the ground and lets them warm in the sand, unmindful that a foot may crush them, that some wild animal may trample them. She treats her young harshly as if they were not hers. She cares not that her labor was in vain, for God did not endow her with the wisdom or give her a share of good sense. Yet, when she...
Finish 18.
Yet, when she spreads her feathers to run, she laughs at horse and rider.
I want to stop there for a second, because sometimes I think we forget that everything that we are, every good thing that we are, and everything that we lack, we were made by the hand of God. Now, here he's talking about this ostrich who doesn't have sense enough to hide her eggs. She forgets she just had babies. Who does that?
Exactly.
And yet she's given the gift to outrun a horse. She's given the gift to outrun a horse. She has unprecedented speed and not the sense of a thimble. When we see one another, and I'm going to say this, when we see one another, and when I say one another, I'm not just talking about those of the household of faith. I am talking about people. When you see other people who seem to be lacking common sense, remember not to judge that.
Amen.
Because what they may be lacking in one area, you may be lacking in another.
Amen.
And you did not make yourself.
Hmm.
When we criticize somebody for being stupid, you know, I had that problem. It was the real issue under that was arrogance. I would have never guessed I was arrogant. But God was ready to deal with it, so he brought it up and made it clear right in my face. The arrogance showed itself as having very little patience for people who, in my mind, were stupid. Well, the Lord said finally one day to me, how about, since they're so stupid, how about I make you stupid and let people talk to you the way you talk to them? I was, that was an epiphany that hit me so hard that the Lord could If you think you're so smart, if God has blessed you to think fast or you know, common sense, whatever you want to call it, whatever way you think that you're so proud of, if you can't be kind and compassionate to someone who is struggling to keep up, or somebody who wasn't given as much as you have been given, if you cannot be kind and compassionate and patient with them, maybe he should take it from you and give it to them.
Hmm.
Mm. See how they treat you. When I already told you that three times, you still can't get that? I told you again, you're not getting it. What are you, brain dead? And a lot of us say, well, I would never say that to somebody. I'll tell you, I have struggled with it being in my tone.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to say you're brain dead. I'm going to say, okay, let me try and put it another way.
Right.
Do you hear the moron at the end of that sentence?
Yes.
Well, the Lord dealt with me about that. Just like this ostrich.
Amen.
The ostrich didn't create itself, and any gift God gave you is to be used to help mankind, not tear them down.
Amen.
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 That was a tough lesson for me. I learned it. I'm learning it. Okay, we're just about out of time. I ask you, as you see how he brings out every single animal, he talks about the wild donkey. He talks about how the donkey this, he talks about, you know, the ox that, the ostrich this. He talks about these different animals because he's illustrating the different gifts he gave each one of them. If we can't see that, with different gifts, we're all made differently. We all have something different to bring to the table that's valuable. We need to value one another for whoever or whatever they have or don't. Amen. And the person that you call yourself picking up today may pick you up tomorrow.
Amen.
Again, I talk about, oh, well, I could have figured that out. Yeah, well, I can't figure my way out of a paper bag. I have zero sense of direction. I have a whole lot of areas that I lack. All of us do. And the more accelerated you are in one area, the more likely you're lacking in another. We're supposed to complement one another, not step on one another.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of this word. Any comments?
Just grateful for the message.
So good. That was so amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank the Lord.
And God bless all of those that are struggling. Oh, my gosh. That was so juicy.
I am struggling, but I thank God for the word.
I have to hang up. Oh, amen.
Me too.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Ms.
Jeanette. So let's stop and pray. Any prayer requests specifically? Because I think everybody on this call is struggling with something.
Alexandra will be heading out tomorrow to Ohio to bring closure to mom's issues, emptying out storage and returning things here. I haven't spoken to her in a couple days, so you know, it's coming to that close. Mm-hmm. So just ask God to give me strength and grace. Thank you.
Any other prayer requests?
I would like to ask God to give me to continue to anoint me and lay that gift on me so I can help someone see or hear or envision through art, through creative communication. And I'm on the verge of doing it, and it's all by the grace of God. And I am excited to know that I'll be able to speak to many on levels that's only through the word of God. So as I embrace Bible study, as I embrace everyone's conversation, their message today, as I embrace God's message overall today, I am excited. It has encouraged me and uplifted me on a platform that I'm not even able to comprehend with right now.
Amen.
I'm crying and I'm laughing and I'm overexcited with joy at the same time, but no pain, and I'm not discouraged over here. I'm excited and uplifted. So I thank everyone.
Hey, can we lift up Lisa, Stacy, and their family? They're dealing with a situation with their mother that's pretty heavy. They can all use some prayer.
Yes.
Okay. Amen.
Yes, okay.
Anything else?
I'm here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, God. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, and we hear who you are. We recognize that you're in control of all things, that you're the creator of all things. And we thank you, Lord, that these words were recorded in Job so that we can be reminded of your awesomeness.
Yes.
And yet we get to call you Father.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
We lift up Exandra's mother, Betty, Lord. And we lift up Exandra, Lord.
Yes.
She knows that her mother's season is coming to an end.
Yes.
Because you've given her the warning, and yet it's so hard for our hearts to let go.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, be with Betty in these times. Be with Exandra, her only child, Lord. Give her traveling mercies as she's on planes in a worldwide pandemic.
Yes, Father.
Give her wisdom and give her peace. But I'm asking, Lord, that right now you would plant in her joy.
Yes.
Give her joy and let her know that her work with her mother is done.
Yes. Thank you.
Just put your arms around her, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I lift up the Stacy and Lisa's family.
Yes.
And Stacy and Lisa.
Yes.
As they are facing the final chapter with their mother as well.
Yes.
It's time, it's the season. They're leaving.
Yes.
And Lord, I ask you to just touch their hearts. And I ask especially in that family, because when grief sets in, people tend to go after one another.
Yes.
They lash out. They become unkind. They become hurtful. I'm asking you to bind these brothers and these sisters, the children of Colleen. Bind them together, Lord, in the love that they have never known one for another, Lord.
Yes, Father. Please, Father.
Do not let them be penetrated by the bickering and the unkindness and the hurt that's going to be trying to surface and cause destruction in relationships. I ask you, Lord, to bring them together. Let this be a testimony of your grace and your mercy in their family, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I ask you, Lord, I lift up Francine, who is still dealing with the loss of her mother so recently, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I ask you, Lord, to just keep your hedge of protection around her, strengthen her mind, and strengthen her heart.
Yes, Father. Please, yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, for all of this chaos and mayhem expected to go on in this country over the next few days, your will be done, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Your will be done, Lord.
Protect people that may be in harm's way, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Father.
Give us the wisdom to be still while you are working.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you,
Lord, fill everybody on this call with your spirit. Strengthen them today.
Please.
Gird them up today, Lord.
Yes, please, Lord.
Thank you. Give you all praise, honor, and glory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Lord, thank you
for that.
Lord, please continue the work. Please. Strengthen her gift of art.
Jesus'
name.
Yes, Father God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's have a sleepover. Let's have a sleepover. I don't want to hang up.
You're the one that talked.
Yeah, that's Exandra asking for a sleepover. I'm sorry. I'll claim that. I love you guys. God bless. I'll see you on the other end when I return. God bless everybody.
God bless. Sheep, is Sheba still on? I'll text Jeanette. All right. Bye. Bonnie.
Who asked about Sheba? Oh,